John 14 in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Some good words of encouragement. And those words were given to the disciples at a time when they really desperately needed to hear a word of hope and encouragement. And that's what Jesus was doing for them, letting them know that I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place, an actual place. Sometimes there's such misconceptions about heaven that we've picked up our philosophy and our thinking from the world, and certainly not from what the Bible has to say about heaven. And first of all, I want to just give you a few reasons why we need to talk about heaven. Number one, we need to talk about heaven because we are so wrapped up in this world. We are so entangled in this world and the things of this world. We sometimes we live like this earthly existence is all that there is. It's not true. Not true at all. As a matter of fact, Jonathan Edwards, the old Puritan preacher, he said, it becomes us to spend this life as a journey toward heaven. Amen. This world is not our home. We're passing through this world. Our final destination as believers and Christians is that wonderful place called heaven. Praise God. So we need to think about heaven. We need to talk about it. We need to be heavenly minded. I know the world says, oh, if you're so heavenly minded, you won't be any earthly good. And the opposite is the truth. The more that you are thinking and heavenly minded, the more valuable you're going to be in this world. The more you're going to have to offer as far as this world is concerned. And you see, really, a part of our problem is that our theology about heaven is wrong. And what we believe has the tendency to become how we behave. Our doctrine determines how we live. What we believe affects our lifestyle. So it is important to believe right about heaven. A lot of people that you talk to about heaven, they would say, I don't want to go to heaven. It sounds boring to me. What? It's just going to be like one perpetual church service. All we're going to do is just sit around the throne and sing. And it's just going to be church. Is that what it's going to be when we get to heaven? Are we just going to be kind of floating around and people are going to be playing harps and it sounds boring? So a lot of people that from a worldly perspective are saying, I don't want to go to that place. I'm not interested in heaven. And the only reason that they would want to go to heaven is they don't want to go to hell. And so they want to escape hell. But the fact of the matter is we need to believe right about heaven. Not very many songs that are sung about heaven. There are some. But the songs that we sing, even the worship that we participate in, it ought to reinforce what we believe about heaven. Amen. And I love new songs. I love new music. As long as it's biblical, as long as it honors God, then I'm all for it. Great. Write new songs. Put out new music. It's all wonderful as long as it's glorifying to God. But we do need more songs about heaven. I grew up in church, as you know, and there was a lot of the songs reinforced what we believed about heaven. Reinforced it. And it was like you were continually being reminded. And even if it was a song that wasn't about heaven, many times it would make a reference to heaven or to where we're going or to what our final destination is going to be. Amen. Glory to God. You see, when you have the hope of eternity, they that have this hope in them They purify themselves. So what you believe about heaven will affect how you live and how you prepare yourself for heaven. But if you are living your life and that this world is the sum total of your existence and this is all that really matters, I want to live out the days of my life, and you're not thinking like the Bible tells us that we're to think, that we are strangers, we are pilgrims, we're aliens in this world. We don't belong here. We're not at home here. Or we should not be. Amen. This is not our final. You know, isn't home wonderful? I love to go on trips, and I enjoyed this last missions trip to Nicaragua as much as any I've ever been on. It was wonderful. It's a great experience. But I have to tell you, after about 5 or 6 days, I'm ready to come home. I want to get home. Why? Well, at home, everything's just kind of comfortable. And you're kind of at ease at home. Home is a nice place, isn't it? Amen. And, you know, take your shoes off and just be comfortable. And just a lot of nice things about home. But let me remind you that our real home is heaven. Our real home is heaven. That's where we fit. That's where we belong. As Christians, as born-again people, we should think about heaven and think about this wonderful place prepared for us, and consider the fact that God has prepared a place for you. You, if you're born again, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then there is not just this life, but there is the wonderful, wonderful hope that we have that we're going to be in heaven one day. Praise God. A lot of these songs I pulled out of my bookshelf back there. Brother Bright sometimes will read a song at the end of his Sunday school lesson. I pulled out my Church of God hymn book, the red back book one, red backed one. That's the one I was raised up on. And I know most of those songs. As I flipped through, I just opened it up and started turning pages in that. And it was surprising how many of those songs made reference to heaven. First one I saw was, "Will You Meet Me Over Yonder?" The second one I saw was, "Where the Soul Never Dies." Then I flipped another page or two over and it said, "Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by." Flipped over a couple more pages. "My trials on earth will soon be o'er, someday, someday." I was amazed. There's just one way to the pearly gate. You can go through that book and about every two or three songs, there's either a direct reference or at least some mention of heaven. So I think that a generation ago, there was a whole lot of emphasis upon where we were going and not just this world and this life. One of the best-selling Christian books that's out and has been out for a couple of years is, I wrote it down, I thought, but I don't see it. Yeah, there it is. Living Your Best Life Now. Living Your Best Life Now. And someone said when they saw the title of that book, well, if the best life that we're going to live is now, does that mean we're not going to heaven? Because the best life is not going to be in this world. The best life is going to be when you step out of this world and into the presence of the Lord. And the apostle said, which is far better. Far better than anything that this world has to offer. You may have nice things. You may have plenty of money, nice clothes, nice cars, nice homes. You may have a lot of wonderful things in this life. And you need to remember that all those things are just God's favor and God's blessing to you. And you need to be thankful and grateful for everything that He has given to you physically in this world. But that's just nothing. Heaven is far better. Amen. So we should live our life in light of the fact that surely one of these days soon we're going to heaven. Came up with the title for this message today, Making Heaven My Home or Making Heaven Your Home, which is a common way that many times old timers would close out their testimonies. They would testify about whatever was going on in their life, and many times they would close out their testimony and say, "And pray that I'll make heaven my home." Pray for me that I'll make heaven my home. Well, I've heard that I don't know how many times in my life, plenty of times, but it reflects the heart of a lot of people that their intention was, I want to go to heaven. I want to get out of this place. I want to live out the days of my life to please God and do what He wants me to do, then recognize that heaven is really my home. Praise God. Amen. And you know that doesn't matter where you're from or what culture you live in, there is this innate desire and understanding that this life is not all there is. I was reading a little bit about this. The Aborigines in Australia, they believed when they died that there was some distant horizon that was really too far for them to get to, but they would always look to the west, to some distant horizon, and that was where they believed that when they died, they went there. Many Mexicans and Peruvians who worship the sun and the moon, they believe that when you die, you go there, you live on the moon or the sun. American Indians, which is part of my tribe, they believe that the spirits would hunt the spirits of the buffalo. You see, what it would be, it was like their ideal of what was the greatest experience that they had in their life. And that's what they would say, that must be heaven. That must be heaven. That great experience. And so they identified that as something beyond this life. The Egyptians were notorious. They built the pyramids, and it was just a land of tombs. And they would bury especially the prominent people, the wealthy people, the kings and people of great influence. They would bury them in these large tombs. They would put food there. They would bury a lot of wealth with them. Money and vessels and food and sometimes maps trying to show them how to get to some special place. Because they believed that when you die, you keep living somewhere, somehow. Because God has put that in the hearts of men. God has buried that into the spirit, in the heart of men, that when you leave this world, that's not all there is. There is more. Romans. They believed that you would picnic in certain special fields with their horses grazing nearby. Again, it was like their image, their great experiences, what they wanted, the ideal of what they thought that heaven would be. So all cultures have given this God-given sense of the eternal and something beyond this life. So we need an answer to that, and it has to come from the Word of God. What does the Bible say about it? Well, I mean, we need to talk about this because every one of us in here are going to face death. Amen. When we hear about someone that's sick and they use the term, that person is sick, they're terminal, then that you have this dreaded thing that they are going to die. But I have to report to you today that every one of us, unless Jesus comes and raptures the church out of here, we're all terminal. Every one of us. We're all going to die, every one of us. It's not morbid, it's just reality, that this life is going to come to an end. Here's the statistics worldwide. 3 people every second die, 180 every minute, 11,000 during this service this morning die and go out into eternity. They leave this world. Their physical body remains, but their spirit, their soul leaves this world. Sad to say, no doubt the majority of those 11,000 that will die during this service probably don't know the Lord, probably aren't saved. A good majority. That's why we have a missions program. That's why we're concerned about the lost worldwide. That's why we need to do more, give more, involve ourselves in every way that we possibly can in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's a world that's terminal. It's dying out there, and the majority of the world is going to hell. It's an awesome and horrible thing to consider, but it's reality. Every day, 250,000 people worldwide. Every day, 250,000 people die, and again, the majority of them die without the Lord. The psalmist David in Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. That's all. That's small. That's your days. Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Emptiness, worthless, not really anything. But the thing that weighs heavily upon my mind is the awesome responsibility that we have as the church to spread the gospel, to get the word out. It's hardly a week that goes by that we don't get the call. Someone has passed away. It's not difficult when you know that that person knew the Lord. If you're called upon to minister in a funeral service like that, it's not that difficult. But you do from time to time face the challenge of trying to encourage a family when you have no hope, really. You can't find any hope that that person knew the Lord. And there's such a heaviness that weighs upon you, and it weighs upon that funeral service, because you can't find any possible hope that that person had put their trust in the Lord. Oh, what a grieving, horrible thing it is to think that people every day in our community are dying without God, within our reach, dying, and they're not going into the presence of God. They're lost. But for those of you today that you're a Christian, then how blessed you are, and what a wonderful hope that you have, that Jesus has given us this word that He is gone to prepare a place. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm gone to prepare a place, specific place, a location. God has prepared a place. It's not just something out there in the atmosphere that's not real. This is reality. There is a heaven. There is a real place prepared, created, and built by the hand of God. And all of us as born-again Christians, that's home. Hallelujah. That's home. Amen. You can't think about heaven without thinking about your mortality, without thinking about death and the fact that you're going to die. You have to consider, if you're thinking about heaven, that has to be before your thinking. And I think that's a good thing, that we be reminded of we get so caught up in the world and the things of this world that we're not considering the fact that at any moment God could say, okay, this is your day. This is your day. At any time, we need to live constantly with that understanding and that reminder that we're living with the hope of heaven, the assurance of heaven, and that you're living with the certainty that you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ancient merchants, they would write in large letters on their accounting books these words, memento mori, Latin, think of death. Why did they do that? On their accounting ledgers, to keep them honest. To keep them honest. They were accounting of merchandise and goods and monies, and so it was a common practice to put that little phrase on their accounting book to remind them all the time, you might meet God today. You might face the Lord today. It was Philip of Macedon, father of Alexander the Great, who commissioned a servant to stand in his presence every day and say, Philip, you will die. Philip, you will die. He ordered a servant to come, step into his presence every day and remind him of his mortality. When you think about heaven, you have to consider the fact that we are living out the days of our life. But this is just a journey. And we are headed toward heaven. And one of these days, very soon, that's where we're going to be. Glory to God. The early church had a preoccupation with heaven. They thought about it all the time. In the catacombs, there are all these beautiful pictures and all of this work of art that's done all throughout the catacombs and those Christians who were in their hiding places, that they painted these beautiful pictures, and almost exclusively they are pictures of what they imagined heaven to be like. Amen. And all of the tombs where the Christians were buried there, they would have little phrases on them beside the name of that person that had died that also reflected the fact that they understood that they went to this glorious, wonderful place. Hallelujah. Little phrases like, one who lives with Christ now. Another one, taken to his eternal home. Phrase after phrase. As a matter of fact, the Greeks were so caught up in what was going on among the Christians that they said of them that they die so differently. They die and it's like there's rejoicing. They die and there's thanksgiving. And they die differently. They sing songs of praise unto the Lord at their death. It's not a time of just overwhelming grief and sorrow. It's also a time of rejoicing. And that's the way it is with the saints of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, we sorrow, certainly. We sorrow when we lose a loved one. That's just normal. But we do not sorrow like the world sorrows. Our sorrow is different. Completely different. We sorrow, but we sorrow with hope. We sorrow with the assurance that they have left this world and now they're in some glorious, wonderful, real place that's been prepared for them. Amen. We need to think about heaven because it's a reminder to us of the fact that one day soon we're going to be free of trouble and trials and sickness and all of these things. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the things that helps people to detach from this world is trouble and sickness. All these things come on and it causes you to say, I'd like to leave this place and go to heaven. I can't tell you in the last year, over a year, how many times that Marcia has said to me, boy, Dad, he's got it made. He's got it made. You know, when some trouble would come up and you're some worry, some burden, and burdens are all gone for Brother Huff. Amen. Pain is all gone for him. And for others of you that have lost your loved ones and your family, they're in this wonderful, glorious place. And all of the suffering and the trouble and the trials and the worries, all of those things don't exist in this wonderful place that's been prepared for the people of God. So we don't sorrow like the world sorrows. We sorrow even at others. We don't sorrow like those that don't have hope. We sorrow with hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what are we to do? Well, I think that there's some intentional things we have to do. We have to make up our mind that we're going to be a people who think about heaven. We think about eternity. We think about our mortality. And I don't mean that you live your life out always worried about death and dying and live under some cloud. But at the same time, neither should we live our lives never considering the fact that we are mortal. And we're going to leave this world to make sure that we are living our lives to please the Lord, serving the Lord, investing in another world. Paul in Colossians, there's this command that he gave to the Christians, telling them that they were to set their affections on things above. It was a command. It was what he was calling them to do. Purposely set your desires and your loves upon another world. Don't get so entangled in this world. Don't love this world so much that you lose sight that everything in this world is just temporal and passing away. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham and others who had this, they were looking for a city, they were longing for another city that the builder and the maker was God. There was this desire, this longing that was in their heart as they were looking for a better city. Praise God. Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The way that you are able to intentionally set your affections on things above is to invest in eternity. Invest in eternal things. Amen. Lay up treasures in heaven. Glory to God. I've told you many times of my frustrations over some of my relatives who have money to burn. They got big, big wads of money. And they have got kids that are just scoundrels. They've never worked much. They're just scoundrels. And when my 86 or 7-year-old uncle, hopefully this won't go on the internet. Not that he would be listening, but 86 or 7-year-old uncle, whenever he dies, he's going to leave all of that. 360 acres in Tulsa County. Can you imagine what it's worth? He's up in his 80s and still has a big bunch of cattle that he says, I just mess around with them. But he makes money. He's always made money. He worked for the railroad and back in the day, I mean, he lied to get in the military. He bought bonds, military bonds, when he was 16 years old. There's no telling what kind of money he's got. And you know what's going to happen? That scoundrel of a son is going to get it. And in 6 months, it's going to be gone. You know what we need? We need reminders that the things in this world are temporary. The things of this life are temporary. And the investments that we make need to be in eternal things. In the kingdom of God. In the souls of men. In the advancement of the work of the ministry. Those are things that are going to last. And they're going to pass from this temporal world into eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't lay up treasures in this world, but rather lay up treasures on the other side, and then your heart will be there. Amen. Glory to God. So our understanding and our thoughts about heaven need to be biblical. It needs to be rooted in the Scripture. Let me read you a few more verses. Philippians 1, verse 21 and 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Hallelujah. Far better. So whenever people use the cliche, they've gone to a better place, that's biblical. Far better. Far better. They're in a wonderful, glorious place. 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. If you think about it, everything that should be precious to you is already in heaven. Amen. Everything is already there. The Bible says your heavenly Father is there. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Your heavenly Father is there. Number two, the Lord Jesus himself, your Savior, he's there. Hebrews 9 and 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. That's where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of the presence of God. And he's continually making intercession for you and me. He's praying for us. Hallelujah. The Father's there. Jesus is there. All the saints that have already passed on, they're there. You see, the wonderful thing about heaven is, I believe, you know, that we're going to know one another when we get to heaven. Relationships are going to be a little different, but not that much, I don't think. I think that the people that you love in this life, you're going to love there. You're going to know them, but it's not going to be held to just that. But how about all those countless saints of God throughout the ages that have gone on to heaven? Heaven is going to be a wonderful place because of it's populated with the most glorious and wonderful people. And you'll get to know them. Amen. Now, you might not get around it around to the Apostle Paul for a while, because the line's probably going to be kind of long to talk to him. But you're going to have the ceaseless ages, and so you'll have your chance to sit down with Paul and talk it over. Amen. And all these others, great. And some of them nameless saints of God who have defended the work of the gospel. And some of them were martyred for the gospel. And all these wonderful people that have gone on and they're there in that wonderful, wonderful place. Hallelujah. All the saints are there. Not only that, but if you're a Christian, your name is there, the Bible says. Glory to God. Your name is recorded in that place, Luke 10 and 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise God. That means you've got a title deed to a place there. Amen. Your name is written there. And the day that you were born again, and I was just a teenage boy when I got saved, but my name was inscribed in heaven, and I have a place in heaven prepared for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so do you, every one of you here today. If you are born again, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then your name is inscribed in heaven. And we are citizens of that wonderful place. Philippians 3 and 20. For our conversation is in heaven. The word literally means our citizenship or where we belong. Our citizenship is there. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of another world. Hallelujah. So why not live like it? Why are we so caught up in this world? Why is it that this world is the most important thing to us and we're so worried about the things of this world? Amen. I think we've lost our heavenly perspective. I really do. I think we're so tied to this world, we don't think about it. And if it does come to mind, it's only at funerals, and we really don't want to think about it that much because we kind of dread the thought of death and dying and going to heaven. But the reality is we're all on this journey. And we're all, as born-again people, that's our destination. That's our home. That's where our citizenship is. The Bible says that here we're strangers. We're just aliens in this world. But I think we fit in too good. When I was in Nicaragua the other day, the whole time I'm there, and this always happens if I visit some foreign country, I'm one of the minority who can't understand hardly a word they're saying. You talk about frustrating. Many times I'm thinking, I wish I could speak Spanish. I wish I would have tried harder in Spanish class when I was in high school. I wish I could understand what they're saying. I don't know what's going on. I just have to trust them. When they count out my change, when I buy something, I just have to trust that they're giving me the right amount of money. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm an alien there. That's the way we're to be in this world. Amen. We're too much in step with the world. We're so concerned about fitting in and loving the things of this world. We talk like the world, act like the world, our clothes, our demeanor. We're just like the world. We want to fit in. We should be strangers. Amen. Aliens. Out of step with the world. Don't hardly know what's going on. We're just looking around thinking, my home is heaven. I have to tell you, with so many of the changes that have been going on in the last few years in our country, I'm feeling more and more like a stranger in America. And I'm looking forward to a day very, very soon when we're going to step out of this world, and it may be by way of the rapture. When Zach was just a little bitty guy, I always tried to explain to him about, you know, what happens to people when they die and how that, you know, there may be in your lifetime likely a rapture. He couldn't get it right. He couldn't pronounce it right. But he'd always just say, Dad, I want to go. I want to do the rap. He couldn't say rapture. He'd say, I want to do the rap. Let's go. This means you go in the rap. How about it? Amen. I'm for the rapture, but I'm also the thing that most concerns me is that we live out the days of our life prepared and ready to meet the Lord and ready to pass from this life into the heavenlies. That place. That specific place that's not just, you know, clouds and mist and everybody sitting around the throne singing a few choruses. That's not what heaven is about. There's so many glorious mysteries of heaven that the Bible doesn't tell us about. There are things, and I need more time to talk about it than today. But we do know this, that we need to regain our heavenly perspective and our love. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. The term there means temporary house or tent. If this earthly tent dissolves, and the older you get, the more it feels like it's dissolving. Amen. And because this body is temporary. And one of these days we're going to have a glorious, glorified body. We'll be known as we're known. You're still going to know who I am, and I'm going to know who you are and who you were. Amen. But it's going to be without the weaknesses and the frailty of this human flesh. Our body is going to be glorified. We know that if our earthly house, if this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. Where is it at? Eternal, in the heavens. We've got a house handmade by God Himself with your name on the title deed. Praise God. Hallelujah. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That's what we desire. We desire to be in that place. Is that what you long for? Is that what you desire for? If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. This life has trouble. We have weaknesses. We have burdens. We have trials. We have sicknesses. This body is a body that feels the effect of the curse. And we're getting older, and the years are going by. And I understand that this body is temporary. Amen. We there in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened for not for that which we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. You know, there are not very many things that are eternal, but the work of the Spirit of God in your life is eternal. The Bible here, the apostle calls it the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest it just means the down payment. It means just that little bit of this world. Actually, the work and the moving of the Spirit in your life, the work of the Spirit of God in the church and the body of Christ is the earnest. That little earnest of the Spirit, that earnest that we have received is really just a little taste of heaven. Amen. Glory to God. So sometimes we enter into church meetings and church services, and the Spirit of God begins to work and move. Just a little taste. Just a little taste of heaven. The glories of heaven. The wonder of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Heaven. Heaven is our home. Amen. Our name is written there. And if you're in this meeting this morning, what we've been talking about is making you uncomfortable, it may be that you need to get your name written there. Amen. You need to make sure of where you stand with the Lord. Because the only thing that really qualifies us for heaven is, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been cleansed by Jesus Christ? Have you come to Him in faith, believing that He is the only Savior of mankind? If you've come to Him in that kind of a faith and confidence, and you have been born again of the Spirit of God, Your name has been written in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Your name is there. You've got a title deed there. Your citizenship is there. You're a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. And you're going to be finally at home when you get there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And actually, where all the saints of God have gone to, really that's the temporary place, because really this whole earth, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where the final heaven is going to be. All that was lost by the fall and the destruction of sin in this world, it's all going to be recovered. Amen. And this earth is going to be restored from all the effect of the fall. This place is going to be the new heaven and the new earth. And all of those that dwell there in that heavenly place are going to come here. Amen. Have I messed up your theology? Hopefully not. Read about it. Read Revelation 21, 22. Read about it. The new heaven and the new earth. Read about this glorious hope and promise that we have. Make heaven your home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, oh, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, that every day we can live our life with that kind of an expectancy, that assurance, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our hope is not in this world. That our hope is in the world to come. I know there's great and wonderful mysteries about heaven. You just give us in your word just small little glimpses of what this glorious, wonderful existence is going to be like. And I know that we can't comprehend it all, but you've given us some insight. We know that you have gone there. We know that you have prepared a place for us. And we know, God, that you have provided and you will provide for every saint of God a wonderful place in heaven, an eternal existence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A life beyond anything we can understand or comprehend. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.